Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians 13:5, Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, and Philippians 2, verse 5. And I'll be reading those in sequence. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Good morning, family. Merry Christmas. Bless your Christmas. How's your faith today?
You know, some messages are easier. Last week we were really blessed. We had that sermon of certainty in uncertain times for those who were here. There's a lot of promises in the scripture to give us that hope. So this week and next week, hopefully by God's grace, it'll show us how to get there so that we can have that certainty, that we can have that peace in trials and tribulations. We are in a serious spiritual battle. Do you agree? Serious. Satan presents things as a game a lot of times, but we're not in a game. We're talking about eternal consequences. And to say certain things, the bottom line would be this. If we look at, there's over 409 stories in the scriptures. They have a lot of stories within stories. But one golden thread besides love that goes through these is worship and obedience. Who do I worship? Who do I obey? What do I worship? What do I obey? It's easy to profess ourselves and say I'm a Christian, but to walk that is a different story. When we see predators, Percy, you probably would say raccoon is a predator to you, right? He has those grapes, and for those who are aware, that is a predator. The grapes are meant for the people, not the raccoons. But do you agree to this, that everything God gives us is motivated by love, even though it doesn't appear that way at times? This is a love message today. I heard a preacher once say that a good preacher or teacher is a good thief. So part of this sermon is stolen from another preacher, Pastor Myers. Those who are familiar with him will see certain things interwoven within there. But the truth is the truth. And so our salvation is based on if we're obedient to God. Do you believe that? Here's the bottom line. If you disagree, just say so. I mean, this is open. We all have to be safe to go back to heaven. Do you agree? Because rebellion can never happen again. And so in order to do that, God has to transform us. The good news is he's already won the victory for us through Jesus Christ. It's an accomplished fact. He's already won the victory. All we have to do is stay close to him and grow with him. So this message here today, although some parts of it may seem tough, God's message of love sometimes is tough. We as parents, how many times have we tried to direct our children in a certain path and they decide that another path would be better? And we've all been there as children ourselves. You know the old thing, Mom, you just don't understand. You just don't understand, Mom. This is different. This isn't like when you were a kid. Then you got older and you realized your mom got smarter. And that's the message that God gives to us. This was done several weeks ago, this sermon. And when I read this week's quarterly with Jeremiah, it was unbelievable seeing the things that were in there. I love the way the Lord works. But Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, and if you studied that out, we found out why he was a weeping prophet. And the message he was given to his people is a message of love from God, because God does not want anybody sitting in this room not to be in heaven with him for eternity. And so as we are in the process of being transformed, and as the scripture says, let each man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling, We as brothers and sisters in Christ have a responsibility to help each other. We have new members here, praise the Lord for that. And we need to know our new members, and we need to bring them in to our fold, so to speak. So let's make an effort to do that. It's not about numbers and just getting somebody here. These people made a choice to change their life. And now, everybody who's been baptized understands that isn't the end of our problems once we get baptized. A lot of challenges may come up. There's so much learning, and the devil can overwhelm us, and he can give us all these doubts. The fear, the FUDs. You ever heard of the FUDs? The fears, the uncertainties, and doubts. God doesn't give us any doubt. Amen? So with that said and done, our opening scripture. Whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, good report, there be any virtue, think on these things. Quote, it is a lamentable fact that God's servants are not half as much awake to the wiles of Satan as they should be. And instead of resisting the devil that he may flee from them, many are inclined to make a compromise with the powers of darkness. A lot of deception in the world, and hopefully we're going to expose some of that today. Again, we can't be tricked or duped to think that everything is okay. We can't have a once saved, always saved attitude. Our walk with Christ is day by day, hour by hour. Do you agree? Because we see in the Bible people who were close to the Lord and fell away. We see people who were far away from the Lord and came to the Lord. But we have to stay with the Lord. And in order to do that, we have to become a living sacrifice. The lesson said human nature is human nature. We are carnal beings. And do you agree that the biggest fight we have is with self? It's dying to self. It's giving up those things. I've learned to like a lot of sinful things over the years. And then you find out they're sinful and say, well, I see a great need for the Lord here because I need to have a heart change so I can give that up and not want to like it. God says, return to me and I will be your God, you will be my people. If and then. In the scriptures, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that the Lord is pleading with his people to return to him. We look in the scriptures and see the perfect world, sin enters in. Then we see this rollercoasting ride with God's people. They go into a spiritual high. God touches their hearts. Next thing you know, they're dancing around the golden calves. And we say, how does that happen? How can I be certain in uncertain times? Well, hopefully today we'll expose some of the things that maybe we're not aware of. And next week we will finish it with how we get there. Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now that's worth an amen, right? No matter what you do, how bad you are, when you come to him and repent with a true heart, you got warm arms around you saying, welcome home. And we could learn, that's a tough lesson for humans. How many times have you been forgiven by God? Yet somebody does us a little wrong, how many times are we willing to forgive them? Do we need the Lord in our lives? Another promise. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they've perverted their way. And they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. And let me say here that I think the devil has deceived us in some ways in how we use the words today. When we see in the scriptures evil, most of us, if we're honest, I think when we hear evil, we might not think of ourselves as evil. We think when we see people like what we just had at UCC and the shootings, and we see these tragedies that people create, and we see the Hitlers of the world, etc., and we say, that's pretty evil. But would you agree that all sin is evil? All sin is evil, no matter what we classify small or big. If we were Adam and Eve at that time, we would look at the issue and say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? So she took a piece of fruit from here. The big deal is that she disobeyed God. You agree? We disobey God because he knows what's best for us. And that's where the trust comes in. So I have four questions. Answer them out loud if you believe them or agree. Is Satan any friendlier now than he was in Christ's time? Has his nature changed since that time? Has his purpose changed? Since Satan is waging war more severely today than at any other time in history, is it logical to believe he would abandon any scheme or device which he had found successful in the past? Absolutely not. So here's four D's to consider. The first D is denial. And I asked a question in prayer meeting a few weeks back and stuff, and I've done it in the church in the past. How do you know if you're being deceived? It's kind of a hard question, because if you're being deceived, you don't know you're being deceived, right? But there are ways to discover if you're being deceived. But we have to get through denial. So get the definition so we're on the same page. Denial is a refusal to believe a doctrine, disbelief in the reality of a thing, the refusal of a claim or request of a person making a request, refusing to recognize or acknowledge. Quote, the original apostasy began in disbelief and denial of the truth. But if we would triumph, we must fix the eye of faith steadfastly upon Jesus, the captain of our salvation. We are to follow the example of Christ and all that Jesus did on earth. He had an eye single to the glory of God. So we as Christians, when we take on the name Christian and we decide to follow Jesus, what does it mean to follow? Walk after, right? So we're to grow more and more like Christ. And so when the Lord gives us trials and temptations in life, is that because he's mean? He's saying, Mike, you know, you've got some problems still here, and so you've been a little stubborn, so I'm going to give you a little more trial and tribulation. Because it seems like we get a lot more religious when we have trials, or if we get on airplanes, people get religious there too, right? The second is being deceived. Deceived means to mislead by a false appearance or a statement, delude. To practice deceit, act deceitfully, catch and snare, dupe, fool, trick, defraud, outwit, entrap, and betray. And Satan is intentional with deceiving. We see that when we see people like Jim Jones in the People's Temple. Now we have to ask ourselves, how did it come to the point 913 people committed suicide in the name of the Lord? And these weren't all people that we would consider socially retarded or whatever. There was prominent businessmen, there was millionaires in that group that had real estate tycoons. But how did they come to the point? That's why we have to be in the scriptures. If we looked at Jim Jones, for those who have seen the documentary on the People's Temple, we would know that their way of worship wasn't even proper. But the thing was, Jim Jones had a clinic, and they were helping heroin addicts get off there. They had a food thing, were feeding 1,800 people a day, so they were doing what a lot of Christians thought we should be doing as Christians. So that looked good. We're doing what other people are just talking about. And people got caught up because they're looking for something. And Satan takes that. They were deceived. Jesus gave us a warning. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. We are warned again in Timothy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's probably no greater deception than the little lie that goes with a lot of truth. That can be hard to detect. Quote, those who have permitted their minds to become beclouded in regard to what constitutes sin are fearfully deceived. Now keep this quote in mind, because that's basically the heart of what we're going to be talking about. To be beclouded in regard to what constitutes sin. Unless they make a decided change, they will be found wanting when God pronounces judgment upon the children of men. And our third, desensitized. We in general have become a desensitized people. If we see in the news a tragedy, some parent just boiled their child to death, or they did this and that, and we're appalled when we hear that, and then 5 minutes later, we don't even think about it, and we're out eating a pizza or doing something different. And that's a great thing, in my opinion, that Satan has done. He's desensitized us that things don't seem like a biggie that should be a biggie. They should be a biggie. We should never not feel empathy and sad when somebody. We had some friends sent out on the prayer chain a couple weeks ago where their youngest daughter, Emily, there in Eastern Washington, committed suicide. And she committed suicide 2 days after her husband committed suicide, which 6 months prior to that, they lost a child. So it was a whole bunch of battles going on. And when those things happen, a lot of people will question God. What kind of God do we have? But this is the stuff when we become desensitized. But if we were to stop a minute and we hear these things, if you had a child and you got a phone call that they just found your child committed suicide, how would that touch your heart? If you got a call and said this or that, I mean, it goes on and on. If we do that, I think we can avoid being desensitized, at least in part. So desensitized means to cause someone or something to react less or be less affected by something, to cause someone or something to be less sensitive, to make emotionally insensitive or callous, specifically to extinguish an emotional response. And our fourth D, if we go in the process, if we stay in denial, if we want to rationalize, which is the easiest thing, at least for me as a Christian, it's easy to start justifying some things that I'm doing. But we're going to have death, eternal death. Death is the permanent end of something that is not alive, the ruin or destruction of something. Satan has deceived and desensitized us for so long that we now call evil good and good evil. Satan's deceived and desensitized, again, we now call evil good and good evil. Read that with me. Satan has deceived and desensitized us for so long that we now call evil good and good evil. We become a people of compromise. We become a people of self-gratification. We're willing to settle for less. I want to clarify, when I'm speaking in general. I'm not talking about each individual. You know where you're at with the Lord in your life and where you're headed. But in general, in Christianity, not just the Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we found this to be true in my search. I've gone through literally 20 religions, gave up on God for 10 years, was raised strict Catholic, and then came to the Lord. And looking back, I can see so much compromise. The Lord tells us not to do this, and we say, well, it's not that big of a deal. I think what he really means, and we go into these things. The real and deceptive battle is for our mind. You believe that? He who controls the mind controls the body and our actions. Do you agree with that? This know also that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning out of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And here's what the Lord tells us, from such turn away. If I'm an alcoholic and I recovered, would it be wise for me to go out and hang in bars again because that's where my friends are at? Wouldn't be a wise decision, would it? From such turn away. Now those traits that we've seen, would you agree that we're kind of there in Earth's history today? We see all those things going on. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness and denying the power. Quote, from the instruction given us in the Old and New Testaments, God desires us to learn that we are not to place ourselves and those connected with us in intimate connection with those who are corrupt in thought, word, and deed, and action. The context here is we are to witness to the whole world. We need to go out and we're going to be among them, people. The key here is to have an intimate relationship with them. I was a professional pool player for years and a hustler. That was what I thought was a good life, a good thing to do. But it wouldn't be wise for me to go back into pool halls and bars just to do a little bit and say, well, I'm just going to knock a couple balls around and that'd be cool. Because that's not how it works. You get back into those environments, it's much easier at times to be carnal than it is to be spiritual. And when you're among those people and the peer pressure, next thing you know, you're in there every night again, and it's a danger. And the Lord gives us instructions. Simply put, it will draw us away from God. Satan doesn't care what side of the ship we jump, as long as we jump off. Revelation. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. So a day is coming, there'll be no more warnings. Just in history. We look at Noah and the ark. They had a warning for how long? 120 years. But a day came when that warning could no longer be for those outside the ark. Is that correct? He's given us warnings for thousands of years. Return to me. Our minds need to be the mind of Christ. And that's a process. We have to be transformed. And we need to help each other. We are family. When we have, I raised five children. when somebody's having a problem in the family, we don't throw them out the door and say, I don't want to sit next to them or be by them. We go there and say, man, my daughter's on a wrong path. I need to figure out how to go. What do I do here? When I became a Christian, the good news, I had a lot better rule book on what to do. Well, they were deceived. But by what were all nations deceived? And by the way, that nations, if you look in the Greek, just means, it covers everybody. It says race and people groups. So there's nobody left out. All nations were deceived by what did we just read in Revelation? Sorceries. So as Pastor Myers would say right now, how many people here by raise of hands are involved in sorcery? Well, he gave this in Jamaica, and he had three hands raised. Halfway through the sermon, he asked again, and almost every hand went up. So I don't know where we're at, but by God's grace. So from here on out, let us pray. Father God, as we go forward now, we just ask again for the enlightenment of your Holy Spirit. Illuminate our hearts, Father. Give us a heart of complete surrender, a heart that desires you more than anything that this world can offer. Illuminate us, Lord. May we not rationalize today. May today be the day that we decide to be 100% yours, do the work that you have asked us to do so we can go home. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The word sorcery comes from the word pharmakia in the New Testament. Anything that medicates the mind so that it will not follow the will or law of God. This should open our minds to the biblical meaning of sorcery. Anything that medicates the mind. Question, can things like cocaine, crack, alcohol, certain foods, music, and so forth medicate the mind so that it cannot follow the will or law of God? Is that possible? I want to qualify this as we go forward. There's things that, if used right, are a blessing and can be used for God's glory. But if we misuse them, we're on the devil's playground. Would you agree? And we'll see some of those things, and hopefully we agree with that, and that we're on the same page. Satan, through the entertainment industry, has painted a deceptive meaning of sorcery. Sorcery goes much deeper than someone walking around with a chicken with its head cut off casting spells. Now, when you hear the word sorcery, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Just shout it out. What is it? Witch, voodoo, devil worship. Absolutely. And those all are part of sorceries. But we'll see the word pharmakia, anything that medicates the mind. Question, can alcohol medicate the mind so that it does not follow the will or law of God? Pretty simple. These are the easy ones. What's another word for alcohol? There's a lot of words. You got it. And there's a reason for that, but we won't go into that heavy today. Another question, can television medicate the mind so that it will not follow the will or law of God? And that deception we talked about, recently they came out, there's a new cartoon out, supposedly quote for adults, that we know that children get into. It's called Mr. Pickles. Anybody hear of Mr. Pickles? It will blow you away. And this is what's going on in the world. And there's an organization who breaks down all these things that come out, cartoons, etc. And they have the machinery where they can slow it down the frame for frame so that you can see the subliminal suggestion, you know, that's hidden in these messages. Mr. Pickles is a dog, and he has this uncanny growl. But when they break it down, you hear him talking about joining the Church of Satan, and when they go into his eyeballs throughout the cartoon 40 minutes, you see all the symbols of Satan and the 666, and Satan is good. This is stuff you'd never, ever know that's even in there unless an organization like this breaks it down. You can YouTube that and see more for yourself. And it starts off with a pregnant lady and boyfriend deciding should they abort and get married. So, I mean, this is kind of where the world is. It can be used to poison us, or television can be used to help us. Question, can music medicate the mind so that it will not follow the will and law of God? The Bible says all nations will be deceived. All nations. That's all peoples, all races. So if you knew you were up against sorcery, would you pray like you never prayed before? Some here have been on missionary trips and have probably seen some of this stuff firsthand. But if you were walking in, like when I was studying voodooism down in Louisiana and Mississippi years ago in the 60s, I'll tell you, those people can spook you out. I wasn't a Christian then. I was just doing some comparisons I was in search of at that time. We're up against much sorcery, and we treat it like it's a natural thing. We are not praying like we've never prayed before. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. If we were to sum up alcohol, TV, music, drugs, and etc. into one term or phase, we would call it the entertainment industry. Would you agree? Entertainment. But what is entertainment? These are some of the deceptions over time. Now, some of us are older here that remember the days, and we laugh now and chuckle. But you can remember the days back in the early 60s, Ed Sullivan show. They couldn't put Elvis Presley on TV because of how he moved on stage. Remember that? They called him Elvis the Pelvis, and they couldn't put him on TV. And when they decided to put him on, they said you could only photograph him from the waist up. In today's standards, we laugh at that and say, boy, how crazy was that? But that's how Satan works. He brings compromise in slow by slow, and then we build upon it. Then we're shocked for a minute. Then we're not shocked. Then he adds another thing. And the next thing, we're into this society where we think things are natural that are not natural to God. These are not things God wants us to do. Here's what entertainment means. And again, I have all this on print for anybody who wants it afterwards. But I do encourage you to look this up yourself so that you can be convicted personally that this is what this truly means. Enter, we break the word down. Enter means to come into. Tain means to hold or possess. And meant means state of, a result of the action. So together it means to come in, possess, and keep in a state of possession. Now that can be for good or for evil. All right? We're letting the Lord in, that's a good thing. We want the Lord to possess our hearts. In Hebrews, it says we could entertain angels unaware. So if it's possible to entertain good angels, is it also possible to entertain evil angels? Is it possible? We're in a spiritual war, remember? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Greek in Hebrew means to be a host, hospitable. But the scriptures, the quote, not only teach the existence of angels, both good and evil, but present unquestionable proof that these are not the disembodied spirits of dead men. It means the war is truly real. We see that angels ministered to Jesus. Is it possible through the entertainment industry that we could be a host for the devil and his angels? Is that possible? Why was Satan and his angels cast out of heaven? Isaiah tells us Satan wanted to be above the stars of God. Isn't that right? He wanted all the fame and fortune. Satan wanted to be bigger and better than God. Did Satan want to be more popular than God? Did he want to be more famous than God? See, another deception in the world is we have people and children who look at different people and think, wow, what a great life that would be. When I had my photography studios and used to photograph models, etc., and stuff in New York, people would look. That was in the days of Christy Brinkley and Kim Alexis and all these people. People looked at them and they heard, because the news promoted them, they show these beautiful women and they're making $2,000-$3,000 an hour modeling. Boy, what a career that would be, huh? What they don't see back then is what weight factor they had to be, that they're pressured all the time, 12, 14 hours a day. They run to Paris and do a shoot, and an hour later they have to go somewhere else. They're under tremendous pressure constantly. We show the features and benefit. We show a beautiful person traveling around the world and making all this money, and we say, boy, that would be a great life. It's such a deception, such a deception. Is it possible through the entertainment industry that we could be a host for the devil and his angels? Why was Satan and his angels cast out of heaven? Again, they wanted to be above the stars of God. But the scriptures not only teach the existence of angels, the desire to become more famous and noticeable than someone else, the desire to be worshipped or admired, originated with Satan. That's not of God. Revelation tells us Satan took a third part of what with him from heaven? Stars. That's right, the angels. They called it stars in Revelation, right? He's doing the same work here as he did in heaven. He takes our eyes and prays from God and puts it on humans. We now have football stars, basketball stars, movie stars, singing stars, etc. Many worship these stars. These are their heroes, people they want to be like. When's the last time you heard a child tell you when he grows up you want to be like Jesus? But when's the last time we heard somebody, I want to be like some football person or whatever? And another deception of Satan, because we look at that, the TV is always promoting, is it not? A football star retires, and what happens? Another one takes his place. So it's constant in front of us. All this, and they think, wow, that's the life to have. But if I was to ask you, who was Miss America 5 years ago? If I was to ask you, who won the World Series 7 years ago? Who was the most valuable player? Who was the top model? Who was the top actor? Who was the handsome? And you go down, we don't know. But as long as it's in front of us today, we say, boy, that's what I want to be like. But we need to be like Jesus, amen? Quote, Satan has devised a multitude of ways in which to keep men from serving God. He has invented sports and games into which men enter with such intensity that one would suppose a crown of life was to reward the winner. I know that's not a popular statement probably for many people, but if we truly look at sports for what they are, sports are dependent that for me to have victory, I have to put someone else down. I have to defeat somebody else. Sports tell people that I'm better than you because I did this. Sports teaches us if you're not first string and you're a bench warmer, you're second best, third best. And we could go on, but the main thing is, in order for me to be successful in any sport, like when I played pool, I had to beat you, and we're cheering people on to beat people. We look at boxing matches. To me, they're nothing more than a human cockfight, and they want people to blast somebody's head off. Now, would Jesus sit there and watch that stuff? With Jesus, and then we've seen it evolve into multi-billion-dollar industry. We have all these needs in the world, and people pay $2,000-$3,000 to go to a Super Bowl game, have a seat at a Super Bowl game to watch people. So I know it's not popular. Now, I want to clarify, these are competitive sports. We're also told when we have sports as a Christian, like in our schools, when we do some sport activities and stuff, it's not our purpose to keep score. In the world, if you were a sports person like I was when I was young, you know how you were picking teams to play baseball? Who was picked last? Person you knew that couldn't hit a ball, or was, you know, you didn't want them. But Christ's way is different. If we're Christians and we look at that and we're going to have some fun there, you would see all those people encouraging that people and teaching them how to hit a ball and do stuff. We wouldn't say cream them. So there's a principle to keep in mind. There's good for exercise, but to be competitive and to want trophies and be all this big stuff, that's not of God. As Christians, we say we don't believe in astrology because we know it's a form of sorcery. We don't want to be stargazers, yet we look at the stars we admire. Is Jesus anywhere in this equation? Are we being deceived by Satan and worshiping stars? Many dress like them, act like them, influence. Are we stargazers? And we do. We can get caught up with the fashions of the world. Jesus was simple, it was humble. And what is our purpose as Christians? What is our sole purpose here on earth? Is it not to take the three angels' message to the world, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has already won the victory, he has accomplished the fact for us, that we are justified by what he already accomplished? If you don't have any hope here today, have hope to know that if you accept Jesus with a sincere heart, that you are justified by what he already accomplished. The sanctification part, now he's making you fit for heaven. But while he's making us fit for heaven, he justifies us by what he has already done on the cross at Calvary. It's really that simple. He loves us that much. I accept Jesus, he accepts me, and we start to grow in him. So where do you think the capital is for Satan and these stars? Hollywood, located in Los Angeles. Ask yourself when we go through these things, are these coincidences? Los Angeles, the city of lost angels. Coincidence. If you go around the world, I lived in Europe a couple of years. You know what the dream is? People, we need to get to Hollywood. They know if you get to Hollywood, you're successful. You come to America, you know, even with these talent things, if you're a songwriter and stuff, if you can get into the American, you're it. And people strive to go to Hollywood. What's that? Do you remember Harry Potter? His wand was made from the holly tree. That's one of the nine sacred trees of witchcraft, known as Hollywood. And its berries could lull you to sleep and were toxic. Research it, you'll find it true. Another note is after all these Harry Potter movies came out with the wands and stuff, the Church of Satan grew by 2 million. Take it for what it's worth. And they were finding that 9- and 10-year-olds were buying these wands on the internet so they could put spells on their parents. Just a game, see? Could it be that Hollywood is the magic wand of the devil? Could it be that Hollywood is lulling people to sleep today, deceiving, desensitizing? When Satan entertained Eve, did he appear as the devil? He used a medium because of Eve saw him for what he really was to draw him back. That's the deception. The plural word for medium is media. Could it be that Satan is using the media today as a medium to entertain us? Entertain, remember, command, possess, keep in a state of possession. Do we like to be amused? You have to be honest, those are rhetorical questions. I wouldn't do it out loud. Definition of amused, to divert the attention of so as to deceive. We are being amused by the enemy of souls today. Does God condemn channeling? For those who are familiar with that term. a form of sorcery in his word. Channeling, media, channel or system of communication, information, or entertainment. When we turn the TV on, we start to go through what? I know it sounds funny, but think about this. We go through channels. Now remember, we're in a spiritual war. It's a battle for your mind. Who controls your mind? What is it that I see? As this opening scripture said, what am I beholding? Could it be that Satan has a channel for each of us? If we want sex, there's a channel. If we want violence, there's a channel. If we want drama, channel. If we want horror, there's a channel. Even some with false religion. System of communication for everyone. Do you agree? There's something for everybody if you want. Just click the button. Satan likes to communicate his character to us in a creative and deceptive ways. If the channel of our mind opens up to the screen, we're allowing the opportunity for the devil to access his characteristics into us. Satan knows that by beholding, we become changed. And you know, he can even use things like 3ABN for a negative. We had a church one time. One of the problems was when 3ABN, this was mostly when they started off, people liked it so much they decided to start staying at home on the Sabbath to watch 3ABN instead of coming to church. Then they missed the fellowship with each other. That's not what that channel was designed for, that station. It was not for us to not to come to church no more and forsake the assembling together. But that's what people started doing in that one particular church area. And literally, you see, almost half the people weren't coming to church because of 3ABN. So the devil can take something good and make something bad out of it if we're not careful. It means someone or something is being programmed. When we watch our programs, we need to realize some type of programming is going on. Remote control means to control from a distance. That's what we do now. Remember when we asked to turn TVs on and adjust the color by hand? No more. Satan has a remote control for us. We don't see it because it's at a distance. Satan's purpose is to move us away from the gospel any way he can. Move means to stir, to move from one location to another. Emotion has the same meaning as move, emotion. You all will agree with this, I'm sure. Why are they called movies? In 1 hour program, Satan can move your emotions all over the place. You agree? He can move us away from the gospel. You can be laughing 1 minute, have tears the next, and you know what? All we're doing is watching, and something is suggesting something to us. It's saying, oh, this person's doing this, and we can get so caught up in that. We have to be so careful as Christians. We need to be praying for each other. Colossians, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Cinema comes from the word kinesis. Kinesis means a movement that lacks directional orientation and depends upon the intensity of stimulation. Cinema means movies. We go to the cinema to be moved. Now, do you think those words are coincidental when we say, here's the cinemas, let's go, they got 12 cinemas? I mean, stop and think about the connection with all this stuff and how we are entertained today and how we can be tricked. Self-gratification is never completely satisfied. I think everyone would agree. We think, if I only had a better car, we get the better car, we're happy for a couple months, and then the payments come in, we're not so happy anymore. But if I only had a bigger home, if I had more children, and the list goes on. And then we seek that, and then it doesn't happen. The context here is there's people who have health issues, there's people who have worked long hours, etc. The context is that if we go to a sporting event or some other end of thing, we're excited about it. We're going to a ball game, we're there before the game starts. We don't go there right when the game starts. If we're having a Super Bowl party, you know, we're there fellowshipping and having all types of stuff long before. And we're excited about it, but then we come to church, are we excited about fellowshipping and enjoying Jesus and what he's got for us? Quote, let none come to the place of worship to take a nap. There should be no sleeping in the house of God. And that's the context I was just talking about. You do not fall asleep when engaged in your temporal business, although I have seen people fall asleep on the job because you have an interest in your work. Shall we allow the service which involves eternal interest to be placed on a lower level in the temporal affairs of life? Character is made up of two things, thoughts and feelings. Video games, part of the entertainment industry, most are based on principle of aggression. I'm not familiar with a lot of them until I go to my son's house years ago when I seen the things that he was doing. And they're all violent that he had. Music, one of the deadliest weapons Satan is using on God's people today. It's like a drug. It moves the mind. It's also one of the most beautiful things of God when used appropriate to move our mind heavenward, isn't it? We've had some beautiful music. That evangelistic series that were here, you agree? Man, there was such beautiful music. How could you not have your mind go to heaven listening to that? But two components, words and music. If you remember Columbine, to give you an example, the German band, I won't use their name because it's a cussing name that they have, but those who went into Columbine doing the shooting did it, if you listen to the song, they did exactly what they told them to do in there. And then when they killed themselves and didn't finish, they came out with another song encouraging somebody to go in and finish that work. That's how much music. When people are in that frame of mind, I don't have time to go into all that. We have a sermon sometime, if by God's grace, called The Music of God's People. We can see the difference between good and bad music. The question, is it possible that music can be an avenue by which our emotions and character can be changed? We know that. If you notice, we go through life and certain songs have certain meanings at certain times. Same with spiritual songs, certain songs. So remember characters, thoughts, and feelings. The things you have described, the Lord has shown me, would take place just before the close of probation. Every uncouth thing will be demonstrated. There will be shouting with drums, music, and dancing. This is the context of what those who are familiar with Pentecost, so the context of running across back and forth. The trap drums, which we hear today, are not the same type of drums that were here. Those who are interested can research that. There's 9 quotes from the word drums, so we want to keep it in context if we could. The senses of the rational beings will become so confused that they cannot be trusted to make a right decision. And this is called the moving of the Holy Spirit. Music is an expression of emotion, sends a message and a statement. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. For every truth God has, Satan has 2 counterfeits, one for the church, one for the world. In the church, he just has put the word Christian in front of anything, and it's good to go for many people. We all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. By beholding, we become changed. Quote, the mind of man or woman does not come down in a moment from purity and holiness to depravity, corruption, and crime. Do you agree? We don't become this just like that. The same way going the other way. I've been in the church 28 years. Why would I expect someone who just came into the church to be spiritually where I'm at today and say, oh, well, he should know better. She should know better. You know, not what it's about. It's a process. And we have a responsibility, do you agree, to help that process? It takes time to transform the human to the divine or to degrade those formed in the image of God to the brutal or the satanic. By beholding, we become changed. Satan's superstitions will assume new forms. Errors will be presented in a pleasing and flattering manner. False theories clothed with garments of light will be presented to God's people. Thus, Satan will try to deceive, if possible, the very elect. Most seducing influences will be exerted. Minds will be hypnotized. So much that goes with that. From the instruction given us in the Old and New Testament, God desires us to learn that we are not to place ourselves and those connected with us in intimate connection with those who are corrupt in thought, word, and action. If workers of limited experience are placed in close connection with this class, there is a danger that they will be, by beholding, become changed into the same image, that the standard of holiness and truth will be lowered. But remember, the mind of a man or woman does not come down in a moment from purity and holiness to depravity, corruption, and crime. It takes time to transform us. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. The time has come for a thorough reformation to take place. When this reformation begins, the spirit of prayer will actuate every believer, will banish from the church the spirit of discord and strife. That's a promise. Through much prayer, you must labor for souls, for this is the only method by which you can reach hearts. It is not your work, but the work of Christ, who is by your side, that impresses hearts. And we desperately need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, do you agree? Day by day, hour by hour, to be overcomers. And she says here, and since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve Him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. Every worker. And everyone here who is a Christian is a worker for God. It's not just Bible workers. It's not our responsibility to say, let the Bible workers, let the pastor, let the elders do it. That's not what Christians are. We all have a part. I hope you agree. Companies of Christian workers should gather to ask for special help, for heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. You got to be the glory. In closing, I hope in our hearts that each one here wants to know what sin is in their life. What sin do I have? What could possibly keep me from entering heaven? Because the bottom line to everything is that we have to worship and obey God. Do you agree? Yet we cannot be, 99% is not good enough, brothers and sisters. We have to obey God. We have to have a heart willing. Does it take time to get there? Yes, it does. The Lord is looking at our heart. But may I suggest that today is the day of salvation for each one that's here. Can anyone here raise their hand confidently and say 100% that I will be alive by midnight tonight? We have no guarantee that this could be our last day. That means our probation is over. My attitude toward wanting to be right with God, I'm sealed. That's it. So my question is, am I right with God in spirit? Not that I overcome everything already. Have I achieved everything? A pastor once said, heaven now, but not yet. And that's what we have as Christians. We have heaven now, but not yet. Right? Pray. Father God, thank you for your love and your kindness, your mercy. And Lord, may we all have the prayer and desire in our heart to draw closer to you. I ask that your Holy Spirit come to each and every one of us throughout the days ahead, Lord, and reveal to us the things that are not okay with you that we think are okay, Lord. Help us to have a heart that desires to be more like you. And where we're not willing, Father, give us a heart that's willing to be willing so that we can be right and be safe for heaven. May none be lost that are here today, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your hundreds of warnings. What an awesome God you are. To you we give all the glory and praise. And we thank you for your gifts. As we continue through this day, may our fellowship be sweet and pleasing to you. We love you, Lord. We look forward to spending eternity with you. To you goes all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.